You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at ReadyMadeResources.com. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my interview with Cal Wilson. Enjoy the show. Do you have some dirt cheap recommendations for shelter once we found an affordable location?
Yeah, I had a whole chapter on that. Let's see. It's the quickest and cheapest way, believe it or not, I think will be a bus or a van or a car or something like that. That'll get you there the quickest and the cheapest. And I did mention in that chapter that there are some pretty interesting YouTube channels out there where people who live in their cars talk about, or their boat, you know, talk about their life living in a car. And it's not a real downer. It was a real surprise for me when I came across these, that it's actually pretty upbeat and these people are happy doing it. But that's one example. There are some other examples of a pretty quick, inexpensive way to get a house there or a shed or something. There's an RV. I included some websites of log cabin dwellings that can be pretty easily transported and put there. I think I mentioned RVs and trailers. There's step vans that you'd be surprised at how livable they are. That'll be the quickest way to get something livable there. I also included in that chapter a testimonial from somebody who lived in his car for a while, and he was actually okay with it, you know. But that's probably the quickest thing. There are some other things, some easily put constructed houses that are possible to construct there, and you can do that too. And I've got some websites in that chapter as well.
Yeah, you can get like a pre-built large shed from like Lowe's or Home Depot that you could maybe put some insulation and a little camping stove and maybe drywall it out and maybe loft it out so that you would have sort of the loft space to sleep in, and then storage beneath the bed. And probably not a whole lot more, but that's probably pretty cheap. What do you think about shipping containers? Have you looked into that?
Yes, I have. Shipping containers, there's a whole world out there of people who turn shipping containers, not only the 20-foot ones, but the 40-foot ones. They either bury them or they cut out windows and doors and turn them into little sheds. And that's possible too. And I talk about different things to look for when you're buying a shipping container. And those are not as expensive as you might think also. You know, a 20-foot shipping container, you know, can cost less than $3,000, you know. Now, transporting it, depending on how far away you are from where you bought it, you know, a lot of these go on sale right outside a major shipping port. So if you're nearby the coast anywhere, you can probably find a lot of shipping containers that are for sale. And if you make sure, you know, make sure they're not rusted and dented and all that, then you can buy them and get them transported to your property as well. And it's not, I'd say the whole thing you know, I did it for less than $7,000. And that's a good thing too. I wanted to mention another thing. Speaking of sheds, some jurisdictions have a limit on the footprint of the shed. 10 by 12 is typical, but different jurisdictions have different limits. But it's almost never when they have a limit on how tall it can get. So if you do have a survival retreat and you go into one of these places at Home Depot, you know, you can tell them, okay, I don't want the footprint bigger than whatever, but I would like a loft or a second floor or whatever. And that's, you know, depending on your jurisdiction, that's probably no problem.
You mentioned burying a shipping container. I suppose that does a lot for climate control. It keeps the cold out in the winter and blocks it from the sun in the summer.
Well, that's something that office buildings are starting to do now. It's kind of strange, but a lot of times you look at a mostly government building and you see a roof that has like a lawn on it, you know, because that's a way to keep keep it cool down below. So if you have a shipping container and you fortify it, because it's pretty heavy. But if you bury it, you know, the temperature below the earth is pretty much in the 50s. So in the middle of summer, you might find yourself, you know, just a little bit cold down there. You know, if you've ever gone to some caverns, you know, Carlsbad is one example I can think of. But there's another one in New Mexico. But whatever, if you take the elevator down 100 or 200 feet down and see these caverns, that's why even in the middle of summer you notice it's really cold down there. And it's the same idea with the shipping container that you want to bury, or these office buildings with the lawn on the roof there.
And I think you mentioned camper trailers. You can get a used camper trailer for fairly affordable prices, and they're already configured as living spaces. I guess maybe one of the drawbacks for a camping trailer is that it's probably fairly thin, the exterior walls, and I'm not sure if that's going to stop most battle rifle rounds, but I suspect that something like a shipping container, while it's not yet configured to a living space, and you're probably going to have a bigger spin to make it something that's comfortable to live in, that's probably also a little bit more resistant to rifle fire.
Yeah, and here's the thing. When it comes to RV buying, I definitely recommend, and I don't care if you're looking for a survival retreat or just looking for something to go on vacation with the family, it's always a good idea to buy a used RV, whether it's a self-powered, you know, where you drive it around, or just a trailer, because a lot of RV owners get pretty angry as time goes by, because RVs, a lot of times things fall apart, you know. So if you lower your standards as you're going into the transaction, you know, you won't be so frustrated when different things fall apart. So RVs, I also recommend considering RVs, but you know, be ready for things to break down. Another thing you mentioned, vans, or well, RV vans, whatever. I looked into eBay, which is a good place to find them, and I'm trying to find that part in my book here. You know that that movie Napoleon Dynamite? Uncle Rico had this van that he lived in.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And I looked in eBay, and I found almost the same van, you know, different color, but just as tacky, for $850. And that would be okay to live in, and you know, it wouldn't be the most luxurious thing to have, but $850 is pretty quick. And this one, the one I found, still ran, so you could just buy that and drive it out on your property, and park it there permanently.
Sure. Have you put a lot of thought into what would be pre-positioned at a bug out retreat and what you should bring with you?
Yeah, I've talk about different retreat group members and the qualities that ideally they would have. And this is a subject that is kind of tricky. You have to be careful who you let in on your survival approach. But nurses would be pretty prime. Somebody who could repair stuff. Somebody who could, if not drill a water well, at least repair a water pump. You know, people who are familiar with guns. And gunsmithing, you know, repairing various guns, you know, I think we've all had gun parts that get jammed or whatever. Anybody who can prepare, you know, or grow food, hunters, that kind of thing, all those are pretty important factors to consider as far as not only people, but, you know, your own quality, your own abilities. And stuff that you get there at your survival retreat, stuff that will allow you to live there permanently if need be.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proven to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on gold and silver. Check out silver.com today.
The final chapter, Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 4, Vengeance, is now available in paperback, Kindle, and audio edition. Since the EMP, Denny Walker's compound has survived waves of violence and the death of many key members. When Danny gets an unexpected piece of news from Elisa, he pledges to put an end to the persistent threat in Charlotte. He will kill Regent Slusher and shut down his consortium of depravity, or he will die trying. In this, the final battle between freedom and tyranny, the victor will determine the course of America for decades to come. Get your copy of Vengeance by best-selling author Mark Goodwin from Amazon.com now.
I guess we also got to think about, when you're thinking about what you're going to pre-position at a retreat, anything that you've got there, if it's not somewhere that's permanently manned, there's not somebody around all the time, I suppose it's at a greater risk for looters or thieves to take it, like even now. But then anything that you don't have pre-positioned is something that you're going to have to bring with you when you come. So that's something that you definitely got to work out for yourself as – weighing those two options of what am I going to have pre-positioned there, and then what am I going to bring with me? Maybe you want things that are cheaper. If you've got 20 buckets of rice, that might be something that's very heavy, very cumbersome to transport, and maybe at a lower risk of being stolen if that's what you've got pre-positioned at your retreat. Whereas maybe your prized rifle collection, maybe that's a little bit lighter and much more valuable, that you is much more apt to be stolen if that's what's pre-positioned at your site. Or do you talk about caching stuff below ground in your book?
Yeah, there's something called a cache tube, which is pretty easy to put together at Home Depot. It's just a length of ABS pipe, which is black, and then you glue, a closed end on one side, and then an end that you can open and shut on the other side, and you can plant those anywhere. Just put them beneath the ground, and that's pretty secure. And what I recommend while you're burying a cache tube, and it's spelled C-A-C-H-E, is while you're burying that, toss toss out a lot of nuts and bolts around. And that way, if somebody comes through with a metal detector, they'll be thrown off. And you can store, you know, rifle parts or anything metal in your cache tube. And anybody coming through with a metal detector will, they'll probably, more likely than not, they'll probably give up after the third or fourth nut or bolt that they you know, they dig up, you know. So that's a good, like a smoke screen, you know, to divert people from being able to find your cache tube. But, you know, in general, that's a good point you mentioned, that with the survival retreat, the possibility of people nearby realizing that's vacant property and there might be stuff to steal there, that's a big deal. So you have to keep as much of that locked as possible. And if it's something you can't lock, you just got to hide it. You know, with camouflage tarp or a ghillie bag or whatever. There's a chapter I talk about Google Earth, which is a pretty threatening thing for country properties, because anybody can go onto a computer and look down and see a photo of your property that was taken about a year ago. So it's a good idea to keep keep things hidden. If you have trees that you're thinking about chopping down eventually, just leave them up until the last second, you know, and then you can have stuff at the base of a tree that no one can see with Google Earth, that kind of thing. But yeah, that's a good point you mentioned, that the thefts are a big deal when you have a survival retreat.
And there's a couple of big things that I think are major threats for needing a bug out. One of the things we're seeing right now is out in California, they've got massive wildfires. Last year, we had massive wildfires along the Appalachians. There were some a family in the Smoky Mountains where the gentleman and his son, they saw the blazes back in the background. And they decided they were going to go scout it out to see how close it was to the house, to see if they needed to potentially pack everything up and get their family out of there. He left his wife and I think two daughters at home. Him and his son went out to scout the fire. They couldn't get back to the house. They got cut off, tried to call his wife, couldn't get a hold of her. The flames consumed the rest of his family. He wasn't able to get back to him, and they weren't able to get out. And so... fire, that's a big reason that sometimes folks have to leave and leave in a hurry. And while this might not, it might be that some folks are going to rather go to a hotel or something like that in that type of situation, it is another one of those things that sometimes you just have to go. And that's a really, really good reason for folks to have their bug out bags put together and ready to grab and go. And when you have a threat like that and you're wondering if it's going to be a problem or not, just get out. Just leave. Just get your stuff. Get your go bag. Go to a hotel room. If you left and you didn't need to, then you had a little short vacation. Whereas that's the worst that can happen. Whereas if you needed to leave and you didn't, I would imagine that guy and his son, that's gonna be something that haunts them the rest of his life. And he's never gonna forget his wife, and he's always gonna be kicking himself, wishing that he'd have done that differently.
Yeah, there's one story I can remember. I think it was in California where some big fire was starting, and the fire department thought they could airlift a few firemen into just where it was starting and hopefully divert it away from a subdivision of houses, you know, out in the country. But instead, you know, the winds whipped up, and next thing you know, these three firemen were caught in the middle of it. And I think one of them had a walkie-talkie and just, you know, put out a call, hey, we're stuck here and we can't get out, and there's fire all around us. And according to what I read, there was an off-duty fireman. Well, it must have been maybe not a fireman, but off-duty, some emergency person who just drove in with his pickup truck and came across these firemen who were, you know, in the middle of fire and just said, hey, jump in. And one of them, one of the firemen was so badly burned, he was in the hospital for several months after that. But the point is, you know, if a lot of these fires, you hear about firemen getting injured, and sometimes, you know, God forbid, you know, they get killed. And those guys are professionals. They know what they're doing with fire. You know, they know what risks can be taken. And if they're in the situation where they get injured, you know, and, you know, what about the rest of us, you know? So if there's an order to evacuate, or if there's a fire nearby, it's really a good idea, like you said, to just leave first, you know, and ask questions later, you know. And the worst that can happen is you didn't really need to leave after all, and you just spent a few extra days with your family in a hotel somewhere, you know. So yeah, that's a good approach, is just err on the side of caution when it comes to not only fires but all, you know, hurricanes or floods or whatever. You always read later about people who knew the risks, who wound up getting killed anyway. So therefore, you know, where does that leave the rest of us? Just don't take any chances.
Most of the cities that you mentioned are starting to see a lot of action from the Antifa protesters. What are your thoughts about the growing division in the country? And do you think this is getting ready to reach a flashpoint? Because I could certainly see this as being a potential situation where folks are going to have somewhere else to go and live, because the cities could rapidly become unlivable. And those types of things, you know, it takes some type of a triggering event, and all of these people are already disenfranchised from the system. There's been, during the elections, we had police chiefs that were telling their people to stand down and allow Trump supporters to be beaten without being arrested. And so we know that type of thing goes on. What are your thoughts on that? And is that something that you think that folks need to be prepared for? Is that a good reason to have a bug out retreat?
Yeah, it kind of falls under the category of just general civil unrest. And it's, you know, it's not only Trump and the political divisions, but, you know, you never know when there could be another Rodney King situation where I was just watching a documentary a few nights ago where, you know, in L.A., most people kind of shrugged their shoulders and said, well, I disagree with that verdict, but, you know, these things happen. And within the next couple of days, there were parts of L.A. that were just a war zone. You know, if and there were some people just driving through the wrong place at the wrong time. And if there's a crowd that's riled up enough, you know, they could block your car. Remember that that poor truck driver? I can't remember. Reginald Denny, I think his name
right.
was.
Yeah,
just doing his job, just transporting, being a truck driver, and he happened to be driving through the wrong place at the wrong time, and there was a big crowd. He did not want to drive over anybody, and sure enough, then he gets pulled out and beaten within inches of his life. And I remember seeing a video of a woman, just like a secretary, driving home, and she got caught up in it, and they stopped her car and pulled her out. It's stuff anyway. Stuff like that can happen. You know, anything could touch it off, including, you know, some kind of political development. But it could always happen again. You know, nobody predicted the Rodney King thing in L.A. in 1991. But it can happen again, and it's good to be prepared, not only in your car, but, you know, your house, but also have a survival retreat where you can go until things calm down a little bit.
Cal, you've given us some really good stuff to think about today. You're going to be running a special for your new book. You want to tell us about that?
Yes, thanks. The paper, it's available paperback and Kindle right now. I'm just looking it up. I think the paperback is $11 or $12. Anyway, the Kindle, I just signed up. So the Kindle, the ebook, will be free July 14 to July 17. And I understand that's the same day or the next day when this interview will go live. So your listeners will be able to get a free ebook of this book, Dirt Cheap Valuable Survival Retreat.
Oh, well, that's fantastic, and that's a great resource. And so I hope everybody's going to take advantage of that. And once again, it is Dirt Cheap Valuable Survival Retreat. You've got some fiction books out also. You want to tell us about those?
Thanks. Yeah, I've got EMP, the End of the Grid as We Know It, and that's selling very well. And that's the one I'm working on a sequel to. There's also The Camouflage Cross, which is a group of Christian preppers out on a survival retreat, and the things that they face. And that's it. I've got, like you said, Dirt Cheap Valuable Prepping, which is also a good seller. And that book, I think, should be everybody's second book on prepping, you know, because it does not cover the basics, but it covers kind of interesting twists on other things that people prepare for and other ways that people prepare. So that's I've got a whole several books out there, and they're all doing pretty well.
Well, I really appreciate you making time for us today, and I hope everybody's going to take advantage and get that free resource. Cal, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com.